Blog Talk Radio.
Verse from God's servant, went through the gravel and grit for my soul to become perfect. Without the praises of God, it's darkness and hurts. And we get scattered as people when having these curses. Return back to our Abba, the chains of bondage bursting. And when it's more than this fire, he judging all the earthness. The wicked purge, violent judgment for all who's hating. The rest will make it, speaking the holy God and David. Which is the king, no need for me to vote for a thing. Nation will kiss on the sun, so why don't need the rain? Unless it's filled with commandments of mighty Elohim. His yellow beam will cross over the four river streams. Is it a dream, reality for one I'm seeing? And off of idols, they will perish under the heaven scene. Return, no bigger from all the lies they made up. For all of it is vanity, only you should enslave us. You are that righteous branch that y'all were yelling to raise up. Through the 400 years, so now it's time to wake up. Time to seek out. It's darkness that we forsaken. Today we were revivers. Today we are awakened. Taking everything back from nations who were forsaken. Claiming that they Yehuda will admit they were forsaken. Crossing valleys and hills destroyed, but now revealed. Order is now restored. From my stripes, we now are healed. So.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the mighty Yah. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another broadcast of Wake Up Jacob. I am Morey Ishyah from the House of Israel of Cincinnati, located at 1907 Vine Street, here to teach the word of Yah, so that we may wake up Jacob. And we're going to discuss Yahweh and his mighty acts. And who is Yahweh? Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, the earth, and the sea. Yahweh is the Elohim of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And Yahweh is the Elohim that sees all. And Yahweh gave us his book, the Holy Scriptures, the book of Yah, so that we will know that everything that has happened, everything that is happening, and everything that will ever happen to the children of Israel has been recorded in his book, the book of Yahweh, the Holy Scriptures. And here on our program, Wake Up Jacob, we do this program a little different from our weekly program, Nothing But the Truth, which comes on Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. This program, Wake Up Jacob, is catered to be more for the people of Yah that are just coming into the word of the Creator, or that are trying to learn about Yah and have never heard about the Most High. So we urge you all that are listening, that know Yahweh and that are attempting to do the work of the Creator, that you please call your friends, your family, your ministers, your teachers, the people that you want to hear Yah's word. Let them hear this word today so that you may help them wake up to their truth. Also, if you have any questions, because on our program, Wake Up Jacob, we take questions every Sunday. Every Sunday we take questions. And today, if you have any questions at any point in the program, we will deal with your questions. You can call the number, which is 347-838-8963. That's 347-838-8963. You can also type your questions on YouTube or Facebook, and we will get to your questions. Today, you can ask questions throughout the whole broadcast. Usually, take questions in the last half hour, but today we're going to take questions and or comments throughout the whole broadcast. Today, we're going to discuss the true religion. What is the true religion? Is there even a religion to follow? Because many of our people are in Christianity, and many of our people are in Islam. Many of our people follow after other ways of life, such as being in the religion of the Egyptians, which at its foundation, ancestral worship. Many of our people follow after the Buddhist religion, Hindu religion, I Ching, Santa Maria, Yoruba, and everything else under the sun. Many of our people are atheists. Many of our people are Gnostics. Many of our people are 5%ers, or in the Nation of Islam, or Morris Science Temple of America, or scientists, patriots, or whatever. But what is the true religion? What is the true way for Yah's people? What is the true way for the black man? And if you know it, then call in 347-838-8963. Send us a comment and tell us. If you have a question about it, let us know. But what is the true religion for the black man? Well, it would make sense that if you had a God, if you had a way of life, it would complement you. It would be about you. And Elisha Yisrael, the late Moray, the late man of Elohim, the late prophet, he used to say, if the scriptures was truly about the white man, then everybody in it would be white. Why would we have a scriptures and everybody that's important in the book are black people? You see what they do with their movies. Everybody is white. But then you read the Holy Scriptures and nobody except the evil people are white. So that's something to consider. And the Most High already let us know. It's Yahweh. He's the only God. He's the only Elohim. And he's the only one that describes himself, his angels, and his holy people as being black with woolly hair. You'll read about Yahweh's hair in the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter. And yes, Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he has hair. He also has hands and feet. Yahweh said and has described his features because Yahweh is the Father. He said he made man in his own image. And so let's see what Yahweh's hair is like. In Daniel 7, verse 9, it reads,
I beheld, till the thrones were cast down, and the ancient days did sit, whose garment was white as snow.
Now his garment was white. It didn't say his face was white as snow. It didn't say his hands were white as snow. It didn't say his feet were white. But it said his garment is white.
And the hair of his head.
The hair
of his head.
The hair of Yahweh's head.
Was
the hair of the head of the Ancient of Days.
Was like the pure wool.
Pure
wool.
And what is that? That's that hair texture that's real nappy. Kinky, curly, real tightly curled. Not that kind of loose curls. It's not an S curl. It's wool. Rough. You know what kind of hair wool, woolly hair is. But Yah said the hair of his head is like the pure wool.
and this throne like the fiery flame.
And you know, it's the woolly hair that you can lock up into dreadlocks, as they call them, into locks. And if Yah had woolly hair, then surely his children have woolly hair. And if his children can have woolly hair, his children can have locks. If you look in the book of Song of Solomon, the 5th chapter, the 11th verse.
Songs of Solomon 5, verse 11. His head is as the most fine gold.
His head is as the most fine gold.
His locks.
Not his straight hair. His hair isn't flowing in the wind. It doesn't look like it's stringy, but his locks
are bushy.
They're bushy. Bushy locks. And who else you know has bushy locks?
And black as the raven.
And black bushy locks. This ain't talking about Charleston Heston. This ain't talking about the other fellow that played Moses. I can't remember his name, but he was in that Moses movie years ago. Christian Bale. Yeah, this ain't about, he ain't have black bushy locks. This is about a black man. Black bushy locks. Yah's head, his hair is as the pure wool. This ain't talking about Ben Affleck or Charleston Heston. This is talking about a black man's head and how his hair is. Yahweh made the angels. Let's see how he had the angels look in the book of Daniel. Because surely angels are white. Angels' food is white. Angels are just purely white. And every time you see angels, it's all about whiteness. White angels with white wings, with white skin, and the hair sometimes is even white in some of these movies. Just white all over, white garments, white wings, white hair. Angels. In the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter, the 5th verse.
Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen.
Here's a man clothed in linen. And what color is linen? Linen could be any color your diet, but linen is a tannish, off-whitish color. Clothed in linen.
Whose loins girded with fine gold of Ophir.
And then he had a belt. He had a belt that was as the fine gold of Ophir.
His body also was like the beryl.
His body was like beryl, which is a dark stone.
And the face as the appearance of lightning.
His face was like lightning. Fierce, bright, like lightning. This ain't no regular person.
And his eyes as lamps of fire.
His eyes were on fire.
And his arms.
His arms.
And his feet.
And his feet, which was obviously showing. So he's describing to you what he saw. He saw a man clothed in linen with a golden belt. Not He-Man. Not a Power Ranger. But a man in linen with a gold belt. And he had a bright face like lightning. And his eyes were like fire. But his arms and his feet,
like in color,
like the color
of polished bread,
of milk,
polished brass.
Like the color of marshmallows.
Polished brass.
Polished brass. Like burnished brass. That's what that word polished really says when you look it up. It's burnt brass. Polished brass. And I've never seen white brass. Just dark, dark brown. Even black. This is what the angels look like. Now, Yah, he had been described of having hair like wool. The Song of Solomon said that his hair was bushy black locks. The angel looked like a black man. Again, if you go to the Song of Solomon, this is going to tell you straight out what color her skin is in the first chapter. The fifth verse.
It reads, I am black.
I am white. I am a little tan with a yellow tint. I am red like the Native American. I'm black is what it says.
But comely.
But I'm beautiful. Don't think that I'm not beautiful. I'm black and beautiful is what it really is saying. I'm black and beautiful. Who else says this? Say it loud. I'm black and proud. Who said that? James Brown. I'm black and beautiful.
Oh, ye daughters of Jerusalem.
Oh, daughters of Jerusalem. I'm black and beautiful.
As the tents of Kedar.
Now, obviously, the Kedar tents, they was black.
As the curtains of Solomon.
Obviously, Solomon's curtains were black.
Look not upon me.
Don't look at me.
Because I am black.
Just because I'm black like a curtain from Solomon. You know why I got this dark?
Because the sun. Because
the sun.
Have looked upon me.
Sun kissed me. I'm sun kissed. That's why I'm black. I'm sun kissed. Now, I ain't never seen a white person get sun kissed. I've seen them get sunburnt. But I haven't seen them get sun kissed. When the sun kisses them and brazens their skin and makes it darker and shinier and richer. I'm black. That can only happen to somebody that is capable of receiving the light from the sun and not being burnt. But even if you did get burnt by the sun, when you're not a black person, as we call ourselves, your skin don't turn black. It turns red. It peels. But what happened to Job? Go to the book of Job. See if Job, and you want to know the nationality of Job, let me show you the nationality of Job. Go to Job, the first chapter, first verse, because there's a difference between your race, which is a made-up ideology. Race is not anything Yahweh ever spoke about. Yahweh never talked about race. Yahweh did distinguish the skin hue or the skin color of his people. He did tell you what skin color means what, but he never spoke about race. He didn't divide the world up into colors. He divided it up by nations. In the nationality of Job in the first chapter, the first verse, it reads,
there was a man in the land of Uz.
Uz.
whose name was Job.
Uz was a land out of the Shemites. A lot of people will teach you that Uz or Job was a Jewish or Edomite person. Job was not an Edomite. Job was what came before Esau. Job was an ancient man. After the time of the flood, during the time of Shem, Ham, and Japhet, Job was in the land of Uz, a Shemite. And a Shemite is a descendant of Shem. And Shem is a descendant of Noah. And Noah is a descendant of Adam. And what was the skin color of Job in the 30th chapter, the 30th verse?
Job 30 and 30 reads, "My skin is black upon me."
Job said, "My skin is black upon me.
And my bones are burned with
and
heat."
And my bones are burned with heat because he was out in the sun and his skin just got black. Look at the book Lamentations, the 4th chapter. What is the color of the skin of Yahweh's people? That movie, Ten Commandments, got you thinking that the children of Israel were from Europe, from the land of Japhet. But in Lamentations, which is right after the book of Jeremiah, in the 4th chapter, the 7th verse,
reads, "Her Nazarites were purer than snow."
Purer than snow.
"They were whiter than milk."
Whiter than milk in their purity.
"Were more ruddy in body than
rubies." In their body, they were more ruddy or ruddy than rubies, meaning they were, if you know what a ruby is, a very dark, dark red, meaning their undertones were ruddy in their body, like more than rubies.
"And their polishing was of sapphire."
And their polishing was of sapphire, like a blue black. Ain't nothing white about these people. Go ahead.
Their visage is blacker than a coal.
What's visage? Their face is blacker than coal.
"They are not known in the streets."
Man, these are black people. Look at Lamentations, the 5th chapter, the 10th verse.
"Our skin was black like an oven."
Black like an oven.
"Because of the terrible famine."
Because why? They was out in the sun. It was hot. We got black out there. We always say that during the summer. Woo, I'm getting black out here. Go to the book of Exodus, the 4th chapter. And remember, you got any questions about anything we're teaching, give us a call, 347-838-8963. Or type your question in on YouTube, and we'll get to you. Today, we're taking your questions. And we'll be taking your questions every Sunday in the last half hour of our program. But today, if you got a question right now, we will answer it. So how are we going to wake up Jacob if we don't know what you want to know? So in the book of, what did I say? Exodus, the 4th chapter. Look at the 2nd verse.
Exodus 4, verse 2 reads, "And Yahweh said unto him, What is that in thy hand?"
What is in your hand, Moses?
"And he said, A rod."
It's a rod.
"And he said, Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent.
Yahweh had the rod changed to a serpent.
"And Moses fled from before it."
Mm-hmm.
And Yah said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Then they may believe that Yahweh Elohim of their fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob, have appeared unto you.
Yeah. He's saying, show them these signs. They'll believe you. Go ahead.
And Yah said furthermore unto him,
furthermore,
put now thy hand into thy bosom.
Put your hand in your bosom.
He put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow.
Why is that a sign? Why is that a sign? Because it wasn't white before. And everywhere we're showing you is Yah's people are black. Yah's angels are black. And Yahweh is black with woolly hair. This is what Yahweh has shown you. And you are his people. You want to know the true way? Well, this is the only book that describes Yahweh's people. You know what the Quran says about black people? The Quran, I believe it's in Surah 3, and I believe it's Ayat 103, where it lets you know that those whose faces are black will be condemned. You know what the New Testament says? When the New Testament seen a black person, in the New Testament, what's that, the book of Acts of Romans? I think it's Acts, the 13th chapter. There's one place where the New Testament calls them idiots, followers of Christ, and there's another place where the New Testament calls one of Christ's followers a nigger. Is that Acts 13? Yes, Acts 13 and 1.
Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called nigger.
They didn't even call him by his name. They just called Simeon a nigger. There's a black dude. They called Barnabas, but Simeon the nigger.
And Lucius of Cyrene.
But Lucius is of Cyrene.
And Manon, which had been brought up with Herod.
But he had a name. Why everybody else got names, but when they saw this black man, Simon the nigger. Oh, that's the nigger. It's in the New Testament. The only time they talk about black people in the New Testament is in two places. One is here. They said Simon was a nigger. And then in Revelations, where they say so-called describe the Christ of the New Testament, he was black also. But only in the book of Yahweh that you'll see Yahweh showing you that the most beautiful people in the book were black people. Yahweh himself, his angels, and his holy people. Look in the book of Genesis, the first chapter. The 26th verse.
This is 1 verse 26 reads, and Elohim said, let us make man in our image.
Yeah, whose image? The image of him and angels. He made the angels first.
And after our likeness.
What is I want them to look like me.
And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea.
And if they're going to look like me, what are they going to look? What they going to have? Woolly hair. dark skin, bushy locks. You're not going to have all this other stuff. This is Yahweh's book. If you want to follow after a so-called way of life or religion, why don't you follow after that which is speaking about you? And stop following after somebody that calls you a nigger. Or the Quran where it says black faces, they not going to make it. That's why people gravitate to something like Egyptology. Because they know that was black people in Egypt. But did you know what Yahweh said about the Egyptians? In the book of Leviticus, the 18th chapter. People don't want to follow after this part of the Egyptian way. In Leviticus 18 and 1 says,
"And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am Yahweh your Elohim. After the doing of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt,"
meaning after the customs of Egypt where you lived,
"shall you not do."
You shouldn't do what they did.
"And after the doings of the land of Canaan,"
after the customs of the Canaanites,
"whither I bring you,"
where I'm bringing you,
"shall you not do."
Don't do like them either.
"Neither shall you walk in ordinances."
Don't go after their ordinances.
"You shall do my judgment."
Do Yahweh's judgments.
"And keep my ordinances."
Keep Yahweh's ordinances.
"To walk therein."
I am Yahweh Elohim.
"You shall therefore keep my statutes."
And my judgments.
"Which if a man do,
he shall live in them."
I am Yahweh.
Now, these things he's about to tell you is what Egyptians did and what Canaanites did. Verse 6.
"None of you shall approach to any that is near kin to him."
Meaning like your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your uncle, your auntie. "Neither none of them shall approach anyone that is near kin to him
to uncover their nakedness."
To see their nakedness.
"I am Yah, the nakedness of your father."
Meaning the Egyptians. And when the reason is because he doesn't want you laying with these people. That's why you're uncovering their nakedness. So the Egyptians would uncover the nakedness of their father. Why? Because they would lay with their father.
"The nakedness of your mother."
Because they would lay with their mother. Why do you think you have this Greek philosophy and psychology called the Oedipus complex? Because it's somebody that wanted to sleep with his mama. This is what the Greeks did. And where did the Greeks get it from? The Egyptians. Don't lay with your father. Don't lay with your mother. This is what you don't talk about in the Netu Neter, in the hieroglyphics on the walls. You don't hear about this when you go in pyramid hunting and talk about Nefertiti. No. You don't hear about that. Why don't you hear about that? Oh, that's not honorable. But they were sleeping with their mommies and their daddies.
"The nakedness of thy father's wife."
They was sleeping with their own father's wife.
"The nakedness of your sister."
They were sleeping with their own sisters.
"The daughter of your father."
Or the daughter of your mother.
"Whether she be born at home."
Or born abroad.
"Even their nakedness shall you not uncover."
Mm-hmm.
"And the nakedness of your son's daughter."
They were sleeping with their grandchildren.
"Or of your daughter's daughter."
They were sleeping with their grandchildren.
"Even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover."
This is what they did in Egypt.
"The nakedness of your father's wife's daughter."
You sleep with your father's wife's daughter.
"Begotten of your father. She is your sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness."
Dude, he got to remind you, this is your sister. Don't sleep with her. Don't uncover her nakedness. And this goes down the line. And then look at let's see.
Verse 23. Neither shall lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith.
You telling me in Egypt they was lying with beasts? Yes, they was.
Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down there too.
You telling me women was lying down to beasts? Yes, they was.
It is confusion.
They were doing confusion.
Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out
said
before
in
you.
All of these nations are defiled. Egypt is defiling these things. Why aren't you talking about that? When you say you're Kemetic. Look in Leviticus, the 20th chapter. You think Egypt is so black and bold? Look in Leviticus 20, verse 13.
He reads, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination.
They did this in Egypt.
They shall surely be put to death.
They did these things in Egypt. Homosexuality, bestiality, incest. But you got people running to the Egyptian religion as if it's more true than Yah. You got people running to something called Ma'at. And Ma'at never tells you not to sleep with your father. Yeah, tell me how great Ma'at is. But where did Ma'at say never sleep with your father? Where did my aunt say don't sleep with another man as you would sleep with a woman? Where did my aunt say don't lay down with your sister? They talking about all this balance, righteousness, and the seven principles of my aunt. Where's one of the principles that say don't sleep with your daughter's child? And you wonder why I got all of this foolishness going on in our communities today. Because they're following after things that are not good. But in Yahweh's book, he teaches you holiness. Yahweh, he's the only Elohim. And he's the only one that ever spoke about our condition that would be able to identify the so-called African American. Why would you go to a religion like the Kemetic sciences? Oh, they got so many different names for Egypt. Kemet. Then they call their religion the Netuneter. Then they call it the Kemetic science. The Europeans call it Egyptology. Yahweh just said this is the ways, the customs of Mizraim. That's who Yahweh called Egypt, Mizraim. Because that was the ancestor and the founder of that nation, Mizraim. The name means bondage. Don't follow after the customs of the land of bondage, of the land of Mizraim. Can you show in any of these books that they write about the Mizraim land, about their customs? Can you find where it speaks about the plight of the African so-called American, or speaks about what would happen to you, what is happening to you? No, I can't find that. But you can find, let me tell you, you can even find what's going to happen, what happened to the Egyptians in the book of Yah. Yahweh even talks about them. And I've many times seen from the highest scholars, them have to quote Yah's book to tell you what would happen to the Egyptians. As a matter of fact, if you look in the book of Isaiah, the 19th chapter. The first verse. It
Isaiah 19:1 reads, "The burden of Egypt."
The burden of Mizraim. Yahweh never called it Egypt because Egypt is a Greek name. It's only these people that will take a word and completely change it and give it a whole nother name and go against their own rules of grammar. But nevertheless, he called it Mizraim. And in your English Bibles, it says the burden of Egypt.
"Behold, Yahweh rise upon a swift cloud and shall come into Egypt. And the idols of Egypt,
the idols of Egypt
shall be moved at presence. And the heart of Egypt,
the heart of Egypt
shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians."
Civil war.
"And they shall fight everyone against his brother."
Civil war.
"And everyone against his neighbor."
Mm-hmm.
"City against city."
Mm-hmm.
"And kingdom against kingdom."
Mm.
"And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof."
These are spirits going to fail?
"And I will destroy the council thereof."
There's not going to be any council in Egypt.
"And they shall seek to the idols."
They're going to look to their gods.
"And to the charmers."
They're going
to
look to their charmers.
"And to them that have familiar spirits."
They're
going
to look to the people that have familiar spirits.
"And to the wizards."
They're going
to
look to their wizards.
"And the Egyptians will I give over to the hands of a cruel
but
master."
But I'm going to make the Egyptians become colonized. That's what a cruel master is. A colonizer.
"And a fierce king."
I'm going to give them over to a fierce king to rule over them.
"Say of Yahweh of hosts."
Say Yahweh of hosts. Yeah, he said he's going to colonize these people. And did not that happen to Egypt? And if you read on in this chapter, you'll see what Yahweh pronounced against the Egyptians. And I've had many high scholars of Egyptology go and say, well, this is what happened to the Egyptians in the book of Isaiah. Well, why are you reading Isaiah? I thought that your way was the truth. And our way was a plagiarism. But in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verse 15, and what are we discussing? What is the true religion? The true way for the black man. What is the true way to go? What's the true religion? And in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15.
"But it shall come to pass."
It will come to pass.
"If thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yah, your Elohim."
If you do not obey Yahweh's voice, Israel.
"To observe to do all his commandments."
If you, Israel, don't observe to do all of Yahweh's commandments.
"And his statutes."
And his statutes.
"Which I command thee this day."
Which I command you.
"That all these curses shall come upon you."
Then curses are going to come upon you.
"And overtake you."
And they will overtake you.
"Cursed shall you be in the city."
Meaning you're not going to have blessings in the city. Your city streets will be riddled with trash. And there will be zombie-like people walking on your streets in clothes that look as raggedy as yesterday's trash. There will be darkness upon their faces. There will be violence in the street. There will be sorrow and woe. There will be destruction because you're cursed in the city.
"And cursed shall thou be in the field."
And the same will be even if you're in the rural area, the field.
"Cursed shall be thy basket."
Meaning your basket in which you have your food, it won't yield good fruit. It won't have good stuff. When you go to the grocery store and you put food in your basket, it's going to be contaminated. It's going to be poisoned. It's going to be polluted. It's going to be a curse. Worms will crawl out of it. Gnats will be born from them. When you take it home and put it in your refrigerator, it would have already went bad. Does this sound familiar, brothers and sisters? Because that's what a cursed basket means.
And cursed shall I be in the store.
And cursed will be your storage. You done put up this stuff for a rainy day, and it's mold. This is what your conditions are when you don't listen to Yah. And who is he talking about? He didn't say this is the curse that he put on Japheth or Ham. This is the curse he put on Israel. Look at verse 28.
Yahweh shall smite thee with madness.
Yahweh will make you crazy. That's what madness is. Crazy. Utterly confused. You will not know which way is which. You're crazy. Madness.
And blindness.
You can't see in front of you. You wouldn't be able to see Yah's word if it smacked you in the face.
And astonishment of heart.
These are the conditions of your people. Look at verse 46.
And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because thou servest not Yah thy Elohim with joyfulness.
He's telling you again, these curses are on you because you don't serve Yah.
And with gladness of heart,
mm-hmm,
for the abundance of all things.
And he gave us everything.
Therefore shall thou serve thy enemies.
You're going to be cursed to serve your enemies.
Which Yahweh shall send against you.
Which Yah shall send against you.
In hunger.
And you're going to serve them in your hunger. Meaning, you want to eat, you got to serve them.
And in thirst.
You want something to drink, you got to serve them.
And in nakedness.
You want clothing, you have to serve them.
And in want of all things.
You lack and want anything, you got to serve them.
And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck.
And he's going to enslave you and put a yoke of iron directly on your neck. This don't have to be interpreted.
Until he have destroyed
you. Until you're not even a nation anymore. Yahweh spoke about what he did to his people, what he will do to his people, what is going on with his people. And Yahweh is the only one that did speak about it. Nobody else talked about this. Why would you follow after a way of life that doesn't even tell you what situation you're in today? It doesn't even give you an inkling about what's going on. All the Asian religions just tell you to be balanced. How does that help me? And I'm in captivity. I don't even know what balance is in captivity. Why am I out of balance? I can't just be a vegan and stay away from cows. I need to know how to get back right. Look at the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. He told you what would happen. We'll go into slavery. And he's going to tell us what's going to happen to you. Jeremiah 30:7.
Alas, for that day is great.
This is a great day.
So that none is like it.
There's none like this day.
It is even the time of Jacob's trouble.
It's the time of Jacob's trouble.
But he shall be saved out of it.
But you will be saved out of this trouble.
For it shall come to pass in that day.
In what day? The day of Jacob's trouble. The time of Jacob's trouble. In that day,
saith our host,
this is what Yahweh has spoken,
that I will break his yoke from off thy neck.
Didn't he just say he will put a yoke of iron on your neck?
And will burst thy bond.
Didn't he just say he will put a yoke of iron on your neck? But in that day, in the day of Jacob's trouble, that you'll be saved out, he will burst those bonds that are on your neck.
Mm-hmm. And strangers shall no more serve themselves of him.
And you're no longer going to be a servant to these strangers, to these enemies.
But But they shall serve Yahweh their Elohim.
You're going to return and serve Yah your Elohim.
And David their king.
And you're going to serve not Christ. You see, Yah's book don't talk about the Christ of the New Testament. Yah's book don't talk about Muhammad or the Mahdi. Yah's book don't talk about the Messiah of the Indian religion of Hinduism. Yah's not talking about the Messiah of Egyptology or Egypt. Yahweh's talking about his servant David. Yahweh said that you're going to serve Yahweh, your Elohim, and David, your king, whom he shall raise up unto us. What is going to happen in that day, in that great day, the day that there is none like, in the time of Jacob's trouble, you will be saved out. And by being saved out, he will take the yoke off your neck and he will burst your bonds. And you will no longer be a servant to these enemies. Yahweh is talking about you, the black man and woman that don't know who they are. There's only one group of people in this world that go by a name that is not a surname, that is not an ancestral name, that is not a descendant name. I remember watching a documentary years ago, and they were talking about the so-called untouchables in India. Dark-skinned, woolly-haired people that look like you and I, that lived in abject poverty, that lived in things that you would call projects, that lived in shanty villages, places with bad waterworks, like Flint, Michigan, how they treat our people up there and just have poison water still running through their pipes. Bad places like in the slums, in the projects, in the bad ran-down neighborhoods of Cincinnati and New York and Chicago. And it was the same type of place in this country of India. And they called them the untouchables, and they were dark-skinned people with woolly hair, looked like you and I, and the reporter was asking them, how long have you been here? And they said, almost 400 years. We don't know where we came, it's just we know it was in Africa. And we don't understand, they call us by names that were given to us. These are not our names. Who else has that description? You go to South America, you have the same situation. And you come to America, the United States, the same thing. People with names that don't even belong to them. In neighborhoods and in places that are just rejected. In repugnant and abject poverty. And Yahweh is the only one that told you that this would happen. Even in India, even in China, even in the islands, in the Asian Sea, even in the islands of the Atlantic, you have these people. Even in the continent of Africa. And Yahweh said in Isaiah the 44th chapter, the first verse, We have a question on Facebook. Let's get that question before we read this scripture.
The question is, do you believe Yahshua is the Mashiach?
The question asks is, do we believe Yahshua is the HaMashiach? For everybody that doesn't speak Hebrew, they're asking, do we believe that the Christ of the New Testament, as they call Yahshua, is the Messiah? And our answer is no. We do not believe this, nor do we teach it. We teach that David son of Jesse, is Yah's anointed. And we teach this because it is exactly what Yahweh said in the book of Psalms, the 89th division. In Psalms 89, read verse 19, verse 18. No, 19, I'm sorry.
It reads, "Then thou spakest in vision to thy holy one."
Then thou spakest in a vision to thy holy one.
"And said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty."
I got help on one that is mighty.
"I have exalted one chosen out of the people."
I chose somebody out of my people, and I exalted him.
"I have found David."
I have found David, not Christ, not Yahshua HaMashiach, but I found David,
my servant.
My servant.
"With my holy oil."
With my holy oil.
"Have I anointed him."
Which means I made him my Mashiach. Because when it says I have anointed him, the Hebrew says Mashiach. I made David my servant. My anointed. Read also in verse 25.
"I will set his hand also in the sea."
David's hand.
"And his right hand in the rivers."
David's hand.
"He shall cry unto me, thou art my father."
David shall cry, "Thou art my father."
"My Elohim."
My Elohim.
"And the rock of my salvation."
And the rock of my salvation.
"Also."
Also, he's not going to say, "Why have you forsaken me? Take this cup from me." But he's going to say, "You're my rock of my salvation."
"Also, I will make him my firstborn."
Yah said he's going to be my firstborn.
"Higher than the kings of the earth."
Well, obviously, that means if Yahweh chose David to be the firstborn, he couldn't have chose Yahshua HaMashiach. As a matter of fact, Yahweh never, ever, ever, ever mentioned Yahshua HaMashiach, J-C, J-E-S-U-S, I-E-O-U-S, Z-E-U-S, or any other variation of his name. He never mentioned him, not one time in the scripture. Not one word about him. But he did call David his anointed. He did say David would be his firstborn. So no, we don't believe in Yahshua HaMashiach because Yahweh don't talk about him. Yahweh don't set him up, and Yahweh never sanctified him. And that means what? That his religion is not the true religion. As a matter of fact, look what your so-called Yahshua HaMashiach says in the book of St. John, the 4th chapter. In the book of St. John, the 4th chapter, start reading at verse 22. This is what your Yahshua HaMashiach has spoken.
It reads, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know we worship, for salvation is of the Jews."
He said, "You worship what you know not what," meaning you don't even know if it's true. You don't know if this is real. You don't know if what you're following has any validity. But we, and he didn't say, "I, y'all." He didn't say, "You over there." He said, "We, because he's including himself in this practice of worship, and he's saying, we worship. We know we worship, for salvation is of Yehuda. But the hour comes,
and now is, when the true worshipers, shall worship the Father.
Not me. Not Yahshua HaMashiach. They're not even going to mention Yahshua HaMashiach. All they're going to mention is the Father. The true worshipers shall worship the Father
in spirit
and in truth.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
He didn't say Yahshua HaMashiach seeketh such to worship him. This is not what he talked about. But you'll ask, do we believe in Yahshua HaMashiach? No. Because he didn't even believe in himself. He didn't even believe he was to be worshipped. He didn't believe he was to be sanctified. He didn't believe he was to be exalted. He didn't believe he was to be followed. So no, we don't worship him. And as I was saying, our people are without a name. But Yahweh, in an identity, but Yahweh identified us through our condition. And also Yahweh, he is the only Elohim. And Yahweh is the only one that actually has a plan to liberate us. He's the only one that has a plan of salvation for us. He's the only one that has a plan of restoration for us. The only one that has a plan of reparations for us. And the only one that has a plan of redemption for us. And the only one that has a plan in the vengeance for us. The only one. Somebody asked on YouTube, do you believe the whole house of Israel will be saved even though they have sinned? And the answer is no. We do not believe the whole house of Israel will be saved. And we don't believe that because Yahweh didn't say that's what's going to happen. And so we don't teach that. We only believe and teach what Yahweh has spoken. And let me show you what Yahweh said about this. Go to the book of Amos, the 9th chapter. So we can give you a good hard bottom line answer. In Amos, the 9th chapter, the 7th verse.
Amos 9:7 reads, are ye not children of the Ethiopians?
And in,
unto me,
your English Bible said, are you not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me? But Ethiopia or Ethiopian is a Greek word. What Yahweh called and said, are you not as the children of Cush unto me? And Cushites or Ethiopians are black. Why is he relating us to Cushites? Because he's saying, ain't you just like them? You black like them? Are you not as the Ethiopians unto me?
Saith Yahweh, have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt?
Didn't I bring you out of the land of Egypt?
And the Philistines from Kaphtor?
I even brought the Philistines out of Kaphtor.
And the Syrians from Kir?
I even brought the Syrians from Kir.
Behold, the eyes of Yahweh are upon the sinful kingdom.
My eyes are upon the sinful kingdom.
And I will destroy it from off the face of the earth.
I will destroy a single kingdom from off of the face of the earth.
saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob.
But I'm not going to utterly, which means wholly, which means completely destroy the house of Yaakov.
Say of Yahweh.
For I, lo,
will command, and I will sift the house of Israel.
I'm going to sift the house of Israel.
Amongst all nations.
Meaning you're going to be scattered through all the nations.
Like as corn is sifted in a sieve.
Mm-hmm.
Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth.
Uh-huh.
All the sinners of my people
Listen
shall
to
die.
That. Repeat that again.
All the sinners of my people.
All the sinners of my people.
Shall die by the
Shall
sword.
Live by the clouds. What is that saying? All the people that have sinned amongst Yah's people shall die by the sword.
Which say, evil shall not overtake nor prevent us.
Yeah. All the people that sin, they're going to die. All the sinners of Yah's people will die. Because he's not bringing in sinners into his holy land. So all the sinners of Yahweh's people will die. Why do you think it said this in the book? Okay, but let me show this. In the book of Zephaniah. The third chapter. The 13th verse.
The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity.
Meaning they're not sinning.
Nor speak lies.
They're not sinning.
Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth.
They're not sinning.
For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid.
See, everybody's not going to be a sinner. But the remnant of Yah's people, they're going to be good people. They're going to be good people. What's the next question?
The next question is, Yehoshua HaMashiach is going to be serving under King David?
Is Yehoshua HaMashiach going to be serving under King David? No, there's no such thing as a Yahshua HaMashiach. He's nowhere. He's not going to be anywhere. He's not going to be doing anything. All anybody has to do is just show us where there is a Yahshua HaMashiach. There is a JC. I know you got the New Testament, but that's the only thing you got. Yahweh never spoke in the New Testament. Yahweh never opened his mouth in the New Testament. Yahweh never said a word in the New Testament. You never see in the New Testament where it says, thus saith Yahweh. Yahweh spoke to me. The Spirit of Yahweh came upon me and said, the Spirit of Yahweh spake by me. The rock of the Elohim of Israel has said unto me, thus saith Elohim, thus saith God. God saw me, spoke to me, and said this to me. Yah told me to write this. You never see any of that in the New Testament. Even his own so-called son never had a conversation that you could be witness to in the New Testament. And Yahweh never spoke about Yahshua HaMashiach, not once, ever. That's not there. So no, Yahshua so-called HaMashiach will not be serving under King David. Because he is not in existence. And if he was in existence, let's see. We just saw how it stated, all the sinners of Yahweh's people shall die. We just read in the New Testament where this so-called Yahshua HaMashiach said that he was a Jew or a Yehudanite. So that means he's an Israelite. And if he's an Israelite, let's see if he would make it. In the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Verse 27.
Matthew 5:27 reads, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you..."
Now, this is a problem. Why they got to be... But if your father is the Elohim in heaven, then he must have told you, just like my father had told me, "Boy, I don't want to hear no ifs, ands, or buts." But now you got the Christ in the New Testament, the so-called Yahshua HaMashiach, saying, "But I say unto you,
that whosoever looketh on a woman..."
Whosoever look at a woman...
"...to lust after her..."
"To lust after her..."
"...have committed adultery."
You are an adulterer. Do you know what that means? That means nobody would ever get married. I mean, come on now. He didn't even distinctly make this sense. He lets you know that... He lets you know that when you're single, married, if you look at a woman with lust, you're committing adultery. That's not the law. Yahweh says, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife." He didn't say you shall not covet a woman. This is against the law, what he's doing. That's a sin. You just read Christ's sin. Read the next verse.
"And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out."
Are you serious? Self-mutilation? I guess that's why these Catholics do that stuff. Whip themselves with nails and hammers. If your right eye offends you, pluck it out.
"And cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell."
Yeah, just take out that eye, because the eye has a mind of its own. Your eye is not controlled by your heart, but you that eye is just that wandering eye. Just take it out. Come on now. Look at verse 31.
"It have been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorce."
It has been said. Who said it? Why don't you be clear who said it? This is how you know this man wasn't sent by Yahweh. Yahweh sent his servant. Yahweh's servants will speak, "Thus save Yah." They not just going to say, "Yo, you heard when it was said that one time." No, that's not how Yahweh's servants speak. He said, "It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife,
let him give her a writing of divorcement."
Mm-hmm.
"But I say unto
but
you,
because I now hold authority,
that whosoever shall put away his wife..."
Whoever does this.
"Saving for the cause of fornication..."
Only for the cause of fornication.
"Cause of her to commit adultery."
Meaning what? "And whoever shall marry her, that is divorce, commit adultery." This man don't want you to have no wives, because he didn't have one. What you mean if you put away a woman except for the cause of fornication? And what is fornication? That's sex without marriage. But when did Yahweh say this? That the only reason you could put away your wife is if she has sex without marriage. Yahweh never said that. And what are you saying? If I divorce my wife because she was falling down to idols, that I'm causing her to be an adulterer? And the man that married her is now an adulterer? Come on. This is not the word of Yahweh. He's a sinner. Look at verse 39.
"Ye have heard that it have been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, that ye resist not evil."
An eye for an eye. As it says, Yahweh's law lets you know that if a man takes out another man's eye, he got to go to the judges and he going to get his eye took. And they want to criticize it and say, if you take out my eye and I take out your eye, the whole world will be blind. As if we just going to keep on taking out eyes. No. Do you know what kind of, repellent this is? If you see somebody take out a man's tooth, they take him to the judges, they strap him down, and they yank his tooth out. I think a lot of people going to think twice before they knock out somebody too. You see somebody take out another man's eye, they take him to the judges, they strap him down, and they yank his eye out. I think somebody going to think twice before they take out another person's eye. You see somebody murder another person, and they take him to the judges, and the whole community stone him with stones till he die and leave him there as a heap. I think you're going to think twice before you go around killing people. And these are the judgments of Yahweh. But the Christ of the New Testament, HaYahshua, HaMashiach, said, but I say unto you
that ye resist the evil.
Don't even resist the murderer. Don't resist the eye poacher. Don't resist the tooth poacher. Don't resist the kidnapper. Don't resist the homosexual. Don't resist the thief. Don't resist the Lorena Bobbitts and the Jeffrey Dahmers. Just let them keep on doing what they do.
But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also.
All these sins, he's not going to serve under David. David will put this man to death immediately. So no, Yahshua HaMashiach's not serving under David's kingdom. You want to know who's going to serve in David's kingdom? The only people that's going to serve in David's kingdom, you can look in the book of Ezekiel, the 44th chapter. Verse 6.
And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, and that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all of your abominations. And you have not kept the charge of my holy things, but you have set keepers of my charge and my sanctuary for yourselves. Thus saith Yah Elohim, no stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among children of Israel.
Yeah, the stranger can't enter in. Uncircumcised of heart and flesh, nor can the Israelite. The only people that's going to be in the kingdom of Yahweh, in David's kingdom, is going to be the righteous, not the wicked. And Yahweh is letting you know that the true way of Yah, the true religion, the only way for the black man and woman is Yah's commandments. Go to the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, the 31st verse. Jeremiah 31:31 reads,
behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel.
Here the days come that I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel.
And with the house of Yehuda.
Not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers in the day that I took them by hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, save Yahweh.
But this shall be the covenant.
But this is going to be the covenant
that I will make with the house of Israel.
After those days,
saith Yahweh, I will put my law in their inward parts.
Meaning the law ain't going to change. It's just going to change how you receive it. It's going to be in your inward parts.
And write it in their hearts.
It's going to be written on your heart. Meaning you're going to be programmed differently. Yahweh is going to just program us differently. He's going to put us through something, and it's going to program us completely differently. Uh-huh.
And we'll be their Elohim.
And I'm going to be their Elohim.
And they shall be my people.
And they're going to be my people.
And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yah. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more.
Yeah. You still got to keep the law in Yah's kingdom. You still got to keep the law in the last days. And the only way you can be a servant of the Most High is by keeping the law. It's by doing the commandments. Yahweh is the only one that has came directly to wake up the children of Jacob. Everything he talks to you about, everything he shows you, is to get you to return to him. Everything. The reason why you have the stumbling blocks of Christianity, Islam, Egyptology, and whatever other thing ain't about Yah is because Yahweh said you turned from him. But now he has sent his spirit. He has sent forth his word. He has raised up his servants for the purpose to have Jacob return to him. And this is the time that his servant shall return unto Yahweh. So wake up, Jacob, and until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much. And so do we at the house of Israel. Remember, tomorrow, nothing but the truth at 7 p.m. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the house of Israel. Hallelujah. Shalom.
Righteous gone, please tell me who's in the gap. Oh,